Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Najala.
Najala.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here we are. Welcome to Bitchin. Every week we talk about a different person. We dissect them. We go wildly off topic.
Who are you being? Are you being Najala?
No, I'm being Jeremy Vine.
Oh my gosh.
Let me have another go. Okay. In the studio, criminals. Should we throw them all on a bonfire? I'm talking to Matt from Cornwall.
And what does Jeremy Vine think about Najala Lawson?
I don't know. I imagine he loves her. Who doesn't love her, to be honest? Wholesome queen. Beauty queen. Love her.
So we're doing Najala Lawson.
Yeah.
Shall I read a Wikipedia page?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Have we said the thing about every week we talk? Oh, you did as Jeremy Vine.
I did it, explain, but I did it as Jeremy Vine. But it wasn't very good, obviously. You know what? I'm trying not to take things so personally, so...
And I'm trying to be clearer with what I mean when I speak.
Are you?
Is that coming through? Have I been a bit abrupt with you?
I think you're always well... No, you're always good at communicating.
You're always
think.
A dickhead.
Are you trying to be less of a people pleaser? Is that your vibe?
Not less of a... But just clearer with people about what I think.
Less wishy-washy.
Exactly. Right. Less window washing. Because they're not getting clean, they're getting grubbier.
Right.
Anyway, we'll see how it goes.
What should I do? Should I become less clear or more clear?
I think you should just keep being you.
Oh, thanks.
Although... Was that clear? Is it clear what
I think?
I think
you should just keep being you. Although... Although...
I was trying to give you a really clear direction, and then I didn't want to lose the opportunity for a route to improvement, you know?
Well, there's lots of things that I could improve on. I know that. I'm working on it. I'm getting there.
You're a big work in progress.
I'm becoming a more positive person.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you?
I think so. The thing is, it doesn't really work for this show, so I have to switch it off when we record this, because...
Yeah. Maybe by the end of Bitchin, whenever that happens, we'll both just be two caricatures of our past selves. I'd like that.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something I did this week?
Yeah, absolutely. Please.
I've been feeling very guilty about my car because I have a petrol car, which I hardly drive, but I did have to drive somewhere. It's a wash-up, isn't it? A wash-up? It's a toss-up between COVID-friendly and killing the planet. So anyway, I had to drive somewhere because it would have been like three tubes to get there and I didn't want to spread COVID.
You aren't killing the planet though. The billionaires are doing that.
I know. But we can all do our bit, can't we? Wash out that yogurt pot.
We can all do our bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I was worried about all the petrol, so I was turning it off and on every time I stopped. And then I got to this roundabout, which I actually think is probably using more petrol because it's quite a old car, so it takes quite a big... to turn it back on. Anyway, I got to the roundabout and I turned it off and then it wouldn't go back on. I know. But what I did was I put my foot flat on the floor of the accelerator as I turned the key and it worked, and now I think I'm a mechanic. But after that, I stopped turning it off and on at every junction.
Yeah, I feel, I don't know if there are any car experts listening, but I feel like that's not a smart thing to do. I don't drive, but I feel like it's not a smart thing to do.
I was worried because there was a car not far in front of me that if I'd got it wrong and the engine was on, then I would have just gone into the back of them. But
well, you were trying to do the right thing and ended up nearly killing several people. So
it's the story of my life. Do you know who wouldn't do something like that?
It's Najala Lawson.
Lucy Lawson, born the 6th of January 1960, which makes her 61 years old, is an English food writer and television cook. She is the daughter of Nigel Lawson, Lord Lawson of Blabley, of Blabby. What?
I mean, they don't sound real, do they?
Lord Lawson of Blaby, a former Conservative Chancellor of the Exchequer, and Vanessa... Wait, what? Oh, her mum's Vanessa Lawson, whose family owned the J. Lyons and Co. food and catering business. Blah, 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 blah. Published second book, How to Be a Domestic Goddess, blah, blah. Channel 4, blah, blah, BBC 2 series, Nigella's Christmas Kitchen, blah, blah, blah.
What I love about this show is the detail.
I just think you've got to cut out the bumps.
We all know her.
We know and love her. I've really enjoyed researching Nigella because although I know her and admire her and laughed at her Mikrawave pronunciation, I did not actually know a lot about her and I've learnt loads.
She's been through a lot. She's had a very difficult life in a lot of ways.
Yeah, she has. Are you thinking of her marriage? Is.
Well, yeah, I read an interview ages ago about, like, her childhood and stuff, and sounds like it wasn't the easiest place to grow up in. And I think she's written that she had, like, a bit of a difficult relationship with food when she was growing up, and so now she kind of is trying to, I guess, compensate for those years of not being comfortable with it, I guess.
Do you like her style, her style of presenting?
Yeah, it's very relaxing. I just want to go to one of her dinner parties, really. Imagine being invited to Nigella Lawson's home. It'd just be so... You would feel so important, like... You'd just feel like you'd gone to some sub-dimension of heaven, I think. If you were sat at her table and she was telling you everything she was preparing and...
Yeah. I didn't realise that. I thought she was like a proper trained chef, but she doesn't view herself as that at all. She started off, also she comes from this very like affluent background, obviously, with her dad, and her dad worked for The Spectator, so she got a job at a very young age for The Spectator, and then decided to become a restaurant critic. And I guess, like, you know, that interest in food has always been there. But then she was, like, she became the deputy literary editor of the Sunday Times at the age of 26, which just completely blows my mind. So yeah. I didn't realise her sort of background was more in writing and journalism than it was in food.
In chefing, yeah.
And her whole thing is that she doesn't want to be perceived as an expert. It's more like your mate cooking.
Mm.
I really like the thing she says as well about cooking being like a metaphor for life, where you sort of, you have to have quite a regimented plan, but then you also have to kind of go with it and mistakes will happen. And it's all about not striving for perfection because that's where madness lies, is kind of how she's put it, which is, yeah, I just think is very poetic.
It is very poetic, and it's a nice way of, I don't know, a lot of like... I mean, I'm not a great cook, are you?
I'm all right, you know.
Mm.
I've got better in lockdown. I've learned. And also through going vegan, I've sort of had to learn.
Yeah. I'm all right, but I'm not very good at, like, measuring things and timing. So it requires a lot of mental energy for me to cook something that has lots of steps. And I have to really... it takes me twice as long to do everything, basically. It's nice that she has a sort of chilled attitude to it.
Yeah, and she makes it feel very achievable, I guess. And it's not like other, you know, like the Jamie Oliver thing of you need a twig of shrimp and a dashing of, I don't know, pine.
A bulb of horse.
Tranquilizer.
Yeah. You need five grams of ketamine and...
Sounds delicious.
And a... test tube of the novel coronavirus before you can...
They always need pestle and mortars. I don't know about you, but I do not own a pestle and a mortar.
I think Josh has one.
Oh, Josh is a cook, though, isn't he?
Yeah, see, this is the thing. I live with a chef. So, I mean, he's not an actual chef, but he could be if he wanted to be.
Oh my gosh, he absolutely could be. He could be the next Nigella. Bit of cheek in there, isn't there, with Josh?
Yeah, he's definitely got Jamie Oliver energy. I think with Josh, the thing is like nothing, everything about cooking stresses me out. Like the timing, chopping things, like preparing everything, especially if you're cooking for someone else, like making sure everyone's sat down, they've got their meal and they don't hate it. And whereas none of it really stresses Josh out, he just finds real joy in doing it. He does sometimes get angry if he fucks up a poached egg or something.
Oh, it's anger at himself though, isn't it?
Yeah, because he takes it seriously. Do you know what I mean? What would you serve Nigella if you were having a round?
My best dish is, and I've really perfected it, is a cannelloni. Oh, I need to talk to you about this. It's a vegan cannelloni.
Oh, will you make it for me? I've gone veggie, by the way.
Oh, how's that?
Yeah, it's all right.
Enthusiastic.
You're looking down your nose at me because I'm not a vegan.
I'm absolutely not. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, how's that?
No, I'm all meant, that's painful, isn't it? I think giving up anything is hard. I'm all meant, oh, how's that? That must be tiring.
Well, I just sort of can't do it anymore. It's not that I want to.
Yeah.
I just can't look at it and think it's an animal. And I know, I've sort of broken the bit of my brain that can, like, distance myself from the violence. I just can't do it.
I wonder what that is, if there's like a certain level of denial that we have to be humans, and then suddenly that denial switch just kind of gets a bit faulty.
Yeah. It's weird because it's gone the other way for me before, where I was a vegetarian and then I was like, I just don't care. But I don't know, I think it's something about...
I think that's okay though, to like, in your life you're not ever just like one thing, are you? And yeah. I think it's always the thing about with veganism, and I know I'm like this, but people are so military about stuff where they're like, I am a vegan. And actually, I think if someone's doing their best and they're cutting down everything as much as they can, just like we all do with every, you know, no one lives a perfect life, do they? And I think there's so much judgment, and the fear of getting it wrong means that people just go, well, I'm not, I wouldn't cast myself as that label. Whereas, like, when I first started becoming vegan, like, a couple of years ago, I was vegan, but then I ate cheese to say well done for having been vegan.
Mm.
And I still called, well, I didn't really call myself it, but I still thought, well done me.
Yeah.
And now, sometimes I do, if I get a too good to go, have you done a too good to go?
No. What's a too good to go?
It's an app on your phone device. Which tells you the local restaurant...
Thank you for showing me your phone, by the way, so I know what a phone looks like.
I've got a visual aid.
And I've never seen one.
You are from Cumbria.
I am.
So it's an app, and it tells you all the local shops and restaurants and cafes and blah that are about to throw away their food. And you can buy that food at like a third of the price, sometimes really? Even less. Yeah, and then you have to go and collect it or whatever. So Greg's near me.
Greg's. What
does.
Actual Greg's?
Greg's, it's in Greg's, it's in the Greg's.
Oh my god.
So I spent £2 at Greg's, walked myself down there, and I got a goodie bag. And in that goodie bag was a veggie pastry, a cheese and onion pastry,
oh my god.
Four donuts,
oh my god.
Two yum yums,
oh
and
god.
A sausage roll. For £2. It's not always that good, this is the thing, because it's obviously just whatever they have left, and sometimes they've had more orders, so they put fewer things in each goodie bag. But I try and tell them, like, oh, if you can put anything dairy-free, that'd be amazing. But obviously sometimes they can't. So in that case, I did eat the yum-yums, and I did eat the cheese and onion pasty.
Yeah, fucking right.
Because they would have thrown it in the bin otherwise.
Yeah,
so I thought, well,
in a panoramic. Come on.
And you're kind of measuring, if I'm doing it for environmental reasons, and
yeah,
this
it's better than throwing it away.
Yeah, put it in my... bin belly. I highly recommend getting too good to go. It's very different in different areas. And
what's the best thing you've got, do you think?
I can tell you that very easily.
Yeah.
Coluccio's.
Yeah, Coluccio's.
We're doing goodie bags, and in it was an entire panettone that was, what's that really nice summery drink? Spritz, Aperol Spritz flavoured, with dark chocolate on the top, and the softest, lightest sponge you've ever had.
Oh my god. I'm gonna download it right now, actually.
Pret a manger breakfasts. £3. I got two breakfast rolls and a croissant. We share them in the flat, so like I try to not eat too much dairy because otherwise I'm just not being vegan anymore. But
yeah.
It is really different in different places. So like I'm by like a big high street with loads of shops on it.
Yeah,
so obviously
yeah.
If you're in a more residential area or whatever. I feel like Nigella would be proud.
I feel like she would be. I feel like what's great about her is her sort of, you get the feeling like if you invited her around and you fucked up the dinner, she wouldn't be angry at you.
What would you cook for Nigella?
I think I'd keep it quite simple.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to try and outdo her. Do you know what I mean? There's no point. Yeah. I make quite a good ratatouille.
Ooh, yeah.
So maybe I would make that. Maybe with like a... I think you can't beat just like a good fucking loaf of crusty bread.
I knew you were going to say bread. I was hoping you were going to say bread roll. But I'm happy with just a big crusty bready
bread. Yeah, and like some balsamic vinegar, maybe.
Mm.
Or make it into a garlic bread situation with some...
With like whole garlic, chunky garlic cloves.
Yeah, chop up the garlic, get some Lurpak and just spread the garlic on.
Spread that Lurpak.
So good. Fucking hell, I'm really hungry now.
I know, and this is the thing, is like, I do just think like the pure pleasure that that woman gets from talking about food.
Yeah.
And we all get it, don't we, to an extent? Or at least most people
do. I just love her, and I just think she brings so much joy to people, and I hope she is having a nice time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Can I tell you what I really didn't know? I really naively always assumed that she was a big Tory.
No.
Because, yeah, so she made the decision to vote Labour in like 1989 or something, even though her dad obviously is incredibly like involved in the Conservative Party, and I think it was very contentious in their family and a really sort of brave step away from family tradition. And she said that like her and her dad just don't really talk about politics.
Right.
But also she like in there's this leaked Whitehall document from 2003 that shows she declined an OBE from the Queen, which I just absolutely love. And
oh, no way.
Isn't that amazing? And again, you wouldn't necessarily expect it because she's sort of very mainstream and, I don't know, she's not very, like, overtly political, but that's a very political statement, isn't it, to turn down an OBE. And also, so because she's the daughter of a life peer, she basically gets this thing, like it's a title. I think she should be named the Honourable Nigella Lawson, but she's always refused to use that title and she just doesn't take it up, and I think that's really amazing. And she's also talked about, so she has a personal wealth of about, I think it's like between 15 million and 30 million or something like that, and she's like publicly stated, I have a quote somewhere, she said, "I'm determined that my children should have no financial security. It ruins people not having to earn money," and she said that her children will not inherit any of her money.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
I guess also, like, if you're Nigella's kids, like, people probably just want to give you opportunities anyway. So, like, you will be fine. I'm sure she's got, like, houses and stuff that she's, like, leaving for them or whatever.
And it does make you think, if she's that strong-minded about it as someone who's come from money, you think, how much has that money made her unhappy? Is that why she doesn't want her children to be in the position that she was? Like, obviously, she's got so much out of her position, and a lot of her start in career seemed to come from like her family's wealth and the opportunities she got and stuff, but she clearly has a real perspective that it's a bind that you don't necessarily want in the end.
Yeah, it's interesting with the nepotism thing, because like I think there was that that piece from Larry David's daughter, or it was like an interview with her or something, and I mean, first of all, I think don't complain about being rich and famous during the Panda Express. Just don't do it. Just don't. Just.
It's not a mood, is it?
No, just be quiet for a bit and you'll be all right. But she was basically like, it's really hard because my dad's Larry David. And I do understand that it would be hard because everyone compares you with your famous parent. But I also think it's not harder than being just a normal person who has no family in the business.
I agree.
And if all you can talk about is how hard it is, maybe you are just not that interesting a person. If that's all you have to talk about.
I agree. But don't you think there's this weird thing where like people feel, because there's so much trauma that's very public about people's lives, we all feel that our value is like based on... So if you've like had privilege and you see people talking about their route into the industry or their route into whatever as being from a sort of place of poverty or trauma or whatever, then you have to say, yeah, well, my experience has been hard too. And it's like, it doesn't have to be hard for you to have value and be respected.
I think it's really in like the creative arts as well, the sort of like hardship and creativity go hand in hand, when really the opposite is true. Like, you know, I don't really ever feel like being creative when I'm depressed, really.
And particularly we're going to see it after COVID, and, you know, even now, the people who are leaving the arts and the people who are able to stay.
Yeah.
It's so about privilege and connections and...
Completely.
All of those things.
Yeah. Like, I do have sympathy and I do understand. I guess it's just that, like, thing of not really knowing how... what the conversations are right now, and like, and also it's that thing of like, oh, I really want people to like me, which I understand.
I do think though, cut forward 30 years and we're both going to be moaning about how rich and famous we are, and someone's going to play this back and be like,
so Jesus Christ.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh my gosh, so I got targeted advertising. Have you seen those, like, raffles for houses?
Yeah,
it's like
seen them,
lottery for houses.
Yeah, they're just scams, aren't they?
It is a scam.
Yeah.
And do not do it if you're listening. Don't do it, because
have
I
have done
that...
it.
I've done it so many times.
Oh, Helen.
I know.
Honestly, you're better off playing the lottery. Honestly.
I'm so convinced every time that I'm going to win a £3 million house. And last week, I bet, not bet, but I put in the lottery for this £3 million townhouse in Fulham. And I literally spent all week, like, essentially packing. I was absolutely, I have never been more convinced. And I remember thinking, like, sometimes I get a bit deluded about things, and I get a bit, like, I do have delusions of things. But yeah. Sometimes I have delusions of things, and then they do actually happen. So, like, this must be one of those times. And then when I didn't win, they announced it at midnight on Friday, and I stayed up until midnight to accept my winning ticket. And I couldn't understand what was happening when I'd not worked. It was awful. It was a very low, dark midnight moment for me. I had to go to sleep with all my dreams crushed. But I did think, what world are we living in where this woman is coming on my Instagram being like, do you want the house of your dreams? Well, just give us £25 I paid to enter.
You know that probably whoever's won has just bought like £20,000 worth of tickets.
Do you think?
Well, yeah, because if you think about it, if it's worth £3 million, then it, right. And you've got money to spare, it is worth being the person who buys the most amount of tickets.
Oh, I'm going to be sick. Do you think that's what happened?
Yeah.
But imagine, right, someone had spent £20,000 on tickets, and then I'd spent £25 on tickets, and then imagine
and then
if
you
I'd
won. Yeah.
That would be really telling the system where to go.
Yeah, it would also be unlikely because of the way raffles work.
Because of statistics. Whatever. My dreams are bigger than statistics.
I think stick with your gambling, just your normal gambling.
Oh, there was an outhouse with a gym and a office in it, and I was like,
I do it too.
There.
I go on Right Move.
Yeah,
love going on Right Move and just seeing
no upper limit.
Did you see all the obsession a couple of weeks ago about Polly Stenham's house? On Twitter, everyone was talking about Polly Stenham's house.
Oh my gosh,
fucking
isn't it lovely?
Hell, man.
So Polly
that
Stenham, for people who don't
crazy.
Know, is a playwright, and she did like a feature. Was it in Vogue or something?
Yeah,
like that?
I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago, wasn't it?
Oh, is that?
I don't think it was recent. Or was it recent?
I don't know. It just got sent to me, so I assumed it was recent. But she just lives in the most beautiful London townhouse, and there are lots of pictures of her sitting by her big shelves. And sofas and things.
Oh, fuck, it is from this year, yeah. February 2021.
What I really like about it is I do feel there's a sense of deep shame with people who are able to buy their own houses, where they sort of pretend that they've not, or like they hide
it. They pretend they've won it in a raffle.
But also, I really understand that shame, because if you're lucky enough to have bought a house, but you're really hyper aware of the fact that other people aren't, then you might try and sort of hide it and be a bit quiet about it. Whereas she's just done a whole 3-page spread.
Oh, right. Actually, so it's just been published online.
Okay.
But it was originally in British Vogue's July 2018 issue.
Okay.
So
still, the housing crisis was pretty bad in 2018.
Yeah, it was bad. And but I guess if you're doing it for Vogue, you're like, well, people on Twitter aren't going to see it unless they buy Vogue. Whereas once it becomes like a link that everyone can share, you do very quickly. But I'm a hypocrite. If someone was like, do you want to go to Polly Stenham's house for drinks? I'd be like, yeah.
Oh my gosh, if I was Polly Stenham and I had that house, I would just be taking pictures of myself in that house all the live long day.
I don't think I would, but I'm not Polly Stenham, so... I guess, if that was my house, like, I'd be joyous that was my house. And it is amazing. I'm looking at the pictures now. It's absolutely gorgeous. She has great taste.
Yeah, oh my God. It's so, like, shabby chic, vintagey, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But you are right. You'd have some sense of sort of shame about it. Not shame, but...
I just wouldn't want anyone to know. I wouldn't want anyone to know what my house looked like, to be honest. I would just... that would just be private.
Pictures on my Instagram all day long. Maybe I'm wrong.
I hope you win one.
Oh, I hope I... No, I'm not entering anymore. They've just texted me, actually. It's really weird as we've been talking. They've just texted me.
To say we've got another one.
Yeah.
Give us another £25.
Yeah. How can they have another one already? It's disgusting. Scams. But I will be buying some tickets.
But I suppose it's that thing, you had a week of hope, didn't you?
Yeah.
You had a week where you were just like...
It was so nice. Yeah. I was just living in this total fantasy world of me.
Well, exactly. Fantasy right now, that's what we all need. So I don't blame you at all, thinking that that's possible.
Thanks, Tilly. I always feel so understood and seen.
Good. I'm glad.
Have you ever cooked a Nigella recipe?
No, I'm thinking of doing one. I actually liked one today. I don't know what it was that I liked. Let me have a look on her Twitter, because she's lovely on Twitter, and people always send her pictures of recipes that they've made, and she always replies and says, that looks delicious.
Oh, it's so nice.
Oh yeah, this is it. Donut French toast.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I've ever eaten anything, maybe unknowingly at a friend's house or something, but I've never cooked one of her recipes or eaten anything that I've known to have been made by her, I don't think. But it does all look really nice.
I also want to make... She's made, one of her recipes is butterscotch pudding. And she says in the recipe that she loves Angel Delight butterscotch, which I also love. And I tie it to my childhood quite a bit. You don't like it, no?
Not for me.
Well, they've changed the recipe anyway, definitely, because it's not as sugary as it used to be.
That's
and therefore
the thing.
Not as nice.
I'm not a big sugary gal.
So I might try her recipe for it.
Oh, you definitely should. Oh, you definitely should.
I'm less sugary as I get older. Used to be a sugar fiend.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm crisps all the way.
Oh, crisps and hummus. I sort of just, sometimes I just sort of wish that I could just have crisps and hummus for my lunch. I could just have a whole bag of crisps.
You can.
Maybe I'll
and
do
you
that
should.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, little
What's
treat.
What's your favourite hummus?
I always just go for a Sainsbury's own, to be honest. What about you?
I like the Sabah one.
Oh, yes. The really
and it's got the things
on
the
top.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Do you know what, though? I'm so, I get that one sometimes, but I take the nuts off and don't eat them, I know.
What?
I'm a smooth peanut butter person as well. I prefer things when they're just, they're one thing or the other, they're not a sort of, there's some crunch in there, no.
I like it, because it's a bit of variation.
Oh, fancy some hummus now.
I'm really hungry.
Is there anything that we've missed?
Everything. Literally everything.
We've not really talked about, but I think that's okay. Obviously, her first husband died.
I think everything that's been said about that has kind of been said. And
her second husband famously sort of assaulted her. But I think you're right. I think
she's
really...
been through it.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting. And this is just so what I love about her is she has been hypersexualized. She's so, the tabloid press absolutely love to have a field day with her personal life. When anything comes out about her that's in any way critical, because she's obviously so loved, it's always everywhere. And I think, like, I just love that she's, that the popularity of her in terms of her viewers and her readership and stuff has kind of overruled the press trying to bring her down and degrade her name, I guess.
Yeah, it is so lovely.
Yeah, all credit to her. Any more
No, I think that's it. What are you having for your tea?
I am making...
Oh my God, here we go.
...home version of Nando's. I've got some bean burgers, some Nando's sauce. I've got my air fryer. Have I talked to you about my air fryer?
No, but my friend Georgia Frost was telling me about their
air fryer. Highly recommend, yeah. So good. You put things in it and it is like it's been deep fat fried, but with air.
Right. Well, they've got one and we're hopefully, you know, moving in together at some point. So I'm looking forward to using.
Yay! What about you? Do you know what you're having for your tea?
Yeah, we've got some fish cakes from the co-op, and Josh is going to make his homemade mash.
Yes, Josh. Does Josh cook every night?
Pretty much, yeah. He just loves it. Doesn't tire
him
out.
That's so nice.
I need about 4 weeks to work up to, like, making a mac and cheese. And I got some tender stem broccoli as well. Delicious.
Oh, well, enjoy.
You enjoy your bean burgers? Fucking hell, that sounds delicious. Have you got the Nando's hot sauce?
Have I? Yes.
Which
I have
one are you? Which one are you gonna have?
The hot one.
Hot. Nice.
Hot. What do you? Are you a? Are you a? I feel like you're a hot. Or I'm a medium.
I'm a medium, but you know, I will. I'll dabble in a hot.
I'm like that, but I'm a hot. But sometimes I dabble in an extra hot.
I'm a Peronaise. I'll tell you that for fucking free. Peronaise with the peri chips.
Oh yes.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, I've got some peri. Don't you worry. Well, I hope the listener is sufficiently hungry too.
Yes.
And everyone enjoy their food today.
Everyone take care of yourselves. We're nearly there. I don't know where we're going, but we're nearly there.
And in the meantime, we're here.
We are here for you every week.
Whether you want it or
until
not.
Until one of us has a mental breakdown. Okay, bye. Love you, bye.
You've been listening to Bitchin' with Tilly Steele and Helen Monk. Our music is by Dave Cribb and our artwork is by Luke W. Robson. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you're enjoying it, and do follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We love to hear from you. Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.